While we're in that attitude of being still, what I want you to do just now is just look around. Take a moment to look around. You may want to stand up and look around. Look up, down, to the ceiling, to people. Just take a moment to really look. Look for something. Is there anything that you haven't noticed before? We're here every Sunday, here a lot. As you look around, is there anything you haven't noticed before about somebody that's here or something up in the ceiling? Or is there anything that just makes you smile when you look around and you take that moment to stop and look around? Those things are squint. So you've just noticed that. Sometimes it's good just to stop for a minute and look around. In the course of our everyday life, we get really busy. There's lots of stuff going on, lots of things happening. We often neglect just to stop and look around at what's around us, who's around us, what's around us. And sometimes we miss out on something that's actually really beautiful. Or we miss out on a bit of detail. We miss out on the fact that there's just something not quite sitting right, and that makes us smile. We can often just miss stuff completely. I do that a lot at home, particularly if it's anything to do with my wife, and she says, "Have you not noticed this?" Or sometimes we just take stuff for granted. We're just kind of so used to there, we just forget it's there and forget how beautiful or how detailed or how lovely things are. Things are around, but we just don't see it and we don't appreciate it. The season of Lent is a time for to create some space, right in the middle of life's responsibilities and in the middle of life's busyness, and just to take some time and some space to stop and appreciate something that has always been there, to appreciate what's already around us. It's God and God's presence. That's what Lent's about. That's the purpose of having these days over Lent, to take some time and appreciate God's presence. Recognize Him, recognize what God is doing, recognize that God is with us. Christians have been doing this for centuries. Around this time of year, all around the world, for 40 days in the lead up to Easter, Christians have used this time to create a space, to take time to notice God, to spend time with Him, to listen for His voice, to center ourselves and center our lives on what matters most. The one who made you, the one who died for you. In order to do that, some people fast. Some people maybe give up something, and there may be some people here that have decided to give up something for Lent. Others commit to a pattern of regular prayer or Bible study over those 40 days. Others, we did this in the last few years, committed to start doing something rather than giving something up, maybe to acts of kindness or something that around that over the period of Lent. All as different ways of preparing for Easter, but all as ways of creating space to reflect on God, to notice His presence, to notice what He is doing in this world. In our services here on Sunday mornings over Lent, we're using some ancient songs, some ancient poems to help us create some of that space here in our church services. The Psalms are a collection of songs that were essentially the hymn book of the people of Israel. And during Lent, we're focusing on one part of that hymn book, the Psalms of Ascent. Songs that the people of Israel sang. They sang on their way to Jerusalem. Every time they were on their way there as part of one of their religious festivals. They used these songs to remind themselves of who God is and what God has done. The songs of praise, songs of worship, there are prayers asking God to intervene, and they're songs of encouragement. So they're good songs for us to use during the time of Lent. Last week, we took time going through Psalm 120. We thought about themes of restoration, about repentance and forgiveness. Today, as I've alluded to, we're going to think about help. We're going to do that through Psalm 124, a song that reminded people of God's help. We've already thought a bit about that during our time with the children and the young people. What is it that you think of when you see the word help? Do you feel that you need help? Or do you feel that you're pretty self-reliant? John Lennon wrote the words to the famous Beatles song, Help, in 1965. As he was reflecting back on his youth, he remembered a time when he didn't need anybody else's help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anyone's help in any way. When he was interviewed about this, he talked about the way that he just blustered his way through. As a young person, that was how he did it. And maybe that's the position you are this morning. You're thinking, I don't need anyone else's help. I'm fine. I can take care of myself. Or maybe you don't want anyone else's help. Maybe you've tried that and you've been let down in the past when you've tried to go to other people for help. And you discovered that the best way in life is just to rely on yourself. However, as we know from that song, as John Lennon got older, he realized he did need the help of others. He wasn't so self-assured. Life had thrown up some things that he couldn't handle on his own, didn't want to handle on his own. John Lennon said that at the time that he wrote this, he'd been put on a lot of weight, he was feeling really depressed, and he was crying out for help. And it's always kind of slightly grates because the tune's quite chirpy. But underneath that, the words that he wrote were, "Won't you please, please help me?" Paul McCartney was interviewed about that song a few years later, and he said when he looked back, actually he realized that a lot of John's life, pretty much the whole of John Lennon's life, was a cry for help. And maybe that's where we're at today. Maybe where you're at today. Maybe you're feeling that actually I'm crying for help. So where does your help come from? Who or what do you go to when you're needing help? Do you even recognize sometimes the help that you are being given? Or maybe looking back on an event, it feels different. And maybe the perspective of time enables you to see that there was help. Or maybe sometimes you look back and you start to think, well, what if? What if the help hadn't been there? These are some of the themes that we're going to pick up today as we look through Psalm 124. It's a psalm that's actually been at the core of our church tradition right since the time of Reformation as well. As I was preparing for today, I discovered that no less than John Calvin, the great reformer in Geneva, used to start every single Sunday morning service by reading the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, just like we did this morning. Closer to home, when we look at our own history here in Scotland, towards the tail end of the 16th century, in 1582, there is a story, a famous story, of 2,000 Christians marching up the High Street in Edinburgh, singing Psalm 124. And what had happened was that one of the preachers, had been banished from Edinburgh because of the word that he was preaching. And on his return, they were celebrating that. And as they did, they marched up the high street singing the words of Psalm 124. It was a time in our history when Christians were going through difficult times. They were facing imprisonment. They were facing persecution for their faith here in Scotland. And they were able to use the words of Psalm 124 to give praise to God who sustained them all through everything that they were going through. Now, it seems to have disappeared a bit. I don't remember singing a Psalm 124 in church, or maybe that says more about the churches I go to. I don't know, but I don't remember singing it. Mark had found a song that Ian White had recorded earlier on that was playing on the way that we came in. But it's maybe a psalm that's good to get reacquainted with and to spend some time with this morning. So let's look at it together. I'm going to read from the version, the NIV version. So if you want to follow along in your phones or on your mobile device, or you've got a Bible there, I'm going to read from the NIV version, or you can follow along on the screens as we go through it. Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. As we go through these psalms over the various weeks of Lent, we're also drawn on a book that was written by Eugene Peterson called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, where he looks at the psalms of ascent and goes through some of the ones that we are looking at over this period. He identifies Psalm 124 as a song about help. But he notes that it's not a psalm that is about arguing for God's help. It doesn't explain God's help. Rather, it's a testimony of God's help in the form of a song. Psalm 124 is a witness to the help of God in the past. And when we read those verses, it no longer seems of the highest priority to ask, why did this happen to me? Why do I feel left in the lurch? Instead, as we read Psalm 124, the question that we're left with, how does it happen that through all these difficulties that this people were facing, that they're able to sing with such confidence, God's strong name is our help? What is it about them? Why is it that these people, whatever they've gone through, can sing, God's name is our help? The psalm tells us a story of people who've suffered and been through tough times. But it also leaves us questioning, well, why are they so joyful about it? The first thing to note in all of this is God is on our side. God is on their side. God is on our side. It's so important that the song repeats it at the start. You can just imagine the leader at the start. If it hadn't been for the Lord on our side, do you hear me? Can you say it louder? God is on our side. Stop and think that for a moment. Stop and think about that. How does that make you feel? God is on our side. God is part of our team. He's with us. I often think of life through the medium of sport. Think about the sports team where the best player in the world has just joined you. Messi or Ronaldo is now part of your starting lineup. Or if you're a rugby fan, you're thinking about Dan Carter or Richie McCaw. They're now part of your team. Does that not change how you feel when you go into any match? You've got a player on your side that you know can change things. You know that when you're in trouble, you can pass the ball to them. You can rely on them to make things happen. My son's a basketball player. You know, you're thinking of that boy that's 6'10". If you get in trouble, you just want to launch the ball to him, and he's going to sort it out for you. Having a player like that on your side changes your whole outlook. It changes your chances of winning, but it also changes how you feel about going into any match that you're ever playing. And in every part of our life, whether we face that as individuals on our own, whether we're facing things as part of our church community, God is on our side. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And here David, who wrote the Psalms, this particular Psalm, he's talking into a situation where people have been under all sorts of pressure, facing all sorts of trials. And it's in that context that the reminder is there. God is on our side. And God has always been on our side. We just maybe haven't noticed it sometimes. So what if? That's the start of this psalm. It's a what if question. It's looking back and imagining what would have happened if the Lord had not been there. It's looking back into a time of trouble. But as they stop and they look around into their history, into the anxiety of personal conflict, emotional trauma, as they look back into all of that, they see God, who's on their side. As they take a closer look into those terrors, the terrors of the dragon, the floodwaters, the imprisoning trap, what they see is the action of God and deliverance. You see, this isn't a psalm about the hazards. It's not a psalm about the troubles. It's a psalm about help. I was talking to a few people the other week here, and I'll share a bit of this story with you. But a few years ago now, 9 years ago, me and my family, we had a really terrible car accident. Our car was flipped on the roof of on a motorway, and we spun across. And we all survived, and we were all okay. But it was a traumatic day. And at the end of that day, as we were sitting down, as I was tucking in my daughter, who was 4 at the time, and putting her to bed, and what was going through my head was scenes of screeches and noises and ambulances arriving and people around and fear. And as I was tucking my 4-year-old daughter into bed, she said, "Do you know what, Dad? God looked away from us for a moment today, but he looked back just in time." Her focus wasn't on the trauma, wasn't on everything that had happened. As my 4-year-old daughter was going to bed, her focus was on God. That's not who he, and that's what this psalm is about. It's not about focusing on what happened, it's focusing on actually, in all of that, I've seen God. I've experienced God. I've felt God. And as the psalmist paused and reflected on all that had happened in that conflict, what was revealed was the majestic greatness of God, the care and the love of God. As he looked back in that trouble, that's what he saw. And as we think about that, it is important to notice God hadn't taken the bad times away. They were living through the bad times. This isn't a story in this psalm of a people who'd had some sort of fairy tale experience. It wasn't, we followed God and life was happy ever after. In verses 2 and 3 of the psalm, we're reading of people that attacked them. There was anger flaring against them. The imagery is of a threat of being swallowed alive. These were really tough, frightening times for the people of Israel. in verses 4 and 5, the imagery that we're given there is of raging waters, of a flood that threatened to engulf them. These are real, real and present dangers. And the people are looking back and they're remembering the waves coming towards them. They're remembering the fear, the sense of impending doom. But the Lord had been on their side. And as they look back and they ask, what if? They're not focusing on the hazard. They're not focusing on the water and the water and everything that's coming in. They see God. And they see their help. They've not been swallowed alive. They haven't been swept away. In the words of my daughter, God looked back just in time. What if? As we approach Easter, and as we come through this time, we can also stop and ask, what if? What if God had not been on our side in our spiritual battles too? What if in our battle against sin and all that seeks to destroy us, what if God had not sent his Son? What if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? Then death would be the end. We would be in chains to our sin. Fear would dominate, and the enemy would have won. But as we look back, we remember that Jesus is risen. So we don't need to worry about the what if. Because death no longer has a hold. Love has conquered over evil and hate. Hope has triumphed over fear, and the enemy has been defeated. Amen? Amen. Jesus is risen. We just need to notice it. We need to live it. And we can look at the deep conflict and the trauma and the terrors of the cross. And in that, we see God and we see deliverance. Because we live on the other side. We live on the resurrection side. And Jesus has won the victory. In verses 6 and 7 of the psalm, it reads, praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. What a brilliant image. What an image, brilliant image of a bird escaping, flying away, free. God brings freedom. The cross brings freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As you're sitting here this morning, as we sit together, is there something that we need to be set free from? What are the things that are set to trap and ensnare us? We've escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. When we think of this psalm, we should think differently. And we should think differently collectively, and we should think differently individually. This was a psalm of people singing together. It was a community song. They were looking back at their history, the history of their people. And as a church community here in Gore Bridge, we can look back and see what God has done in the past. We can think about what would have happened if the Lord had not been on our side. And we can give thanks for his provision. I think I'm right. There's been a church in this community, what, since the 12th century? Round about then? God's help has been constant and has been present for every generation. And that assurance of past faithfulness can take us through the present troubles and any that may lie ahead. But we can also think about this individually. We recognize the times in our own life when we felt the attack of enemies, when we felt that we're drowning in pressures of work or pressures of family, maybe financial difficulties, illness, relationships. We've been there. but we've not been defeated. God has been with us, and he continues to be with us as we look ahead to the future. God has set us free, and that is the present reality that we live in. And as we stop during this time of Lent, and we stop to pause and look around, we can recognize that that is true. God has set us free. God is on our side. Victory has been won. We can be confident. We can worship and we can be thankful because our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator, the author of life, the one who's behind every process and every action that sustains life on this planet. This is the God that we're talking about. This is our helper. We started this part of the service by looking around where we're sitting. And I'd like us to end this part by looking up and reflecting on the God who made the heavens and the earth, reflecting on the one who is our helper. We've got a wee short film, and it highlights some of the wonders of creation. So as we watch this, let's focus on the one who's behind the stars, who put them in their place. Focus on the one who made the sea roar, the one who gave the mountains their stature, and who created the trees. So use the pictures that come up, or close your eyes, and maybe just use the music to put our troubles into the hands of God, to put the focus on him and recognize the one that we go to for help. The God who made all of this is on our side. He's the source of our help, our Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's our helper, the one who made all of that, the one who made heaven and earth. As we, the band come up and lead us in our final worship, let's stand together and let's declare together the verse that's written on that screen. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Repeat it. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen.